On this shorter episode of the Kick to Kick podcast, we take a close look at the 1916 season. We discuss the new look of the league, what effect the war has had on the VFL, the teams involved and the format of the season. We look at the finals in which a statistical anomaly occurs. We celebrate a milestone and Tim decides to award a trophy. All that and more coming up after the song.
It's the history of football we knows about, and we want to expand what we know. We'll become such intelligent gentry with every Kick to Kick show. Beginning in the time 1870s, right through to the modern day. Tune in for Timmy Coops and the Kazman to hear what they all have to say.
Yes, and welcome to the Kick to Kick podcast, the 1916 episode. My name is Tim. Sitting either side of me are two very happy Demon supporters, Kaz and Coops.
Yes, we are.
Up the D's.
Up the D's. Can you believe it? I actually still have a little bit. I can't still speak from the weekend.
It's unbelievable.
This is Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, just sitting out a few days from the prelim finals about to happen. Very, very happy supporters. How are you feeling at the moment, guys?
Euphoric.
Couldn't sum it up more perfectly. That's what everyone's feeling.
It's unbelievable.
Who would have thought this?
Well, this is the thing. It just goes to show after going so often when we were in the doldrums, there was always that picture in your mind, even when we were terrible. I was like, you've got to be here for these ones because it'll make the good times that much sweeter. And it really does. Because you're like, no, I was here. Like, the other weekend, all those 91,000 fans were there, and it's great to see so much red and blue, but I was looking around being like, you weren't there. but it's amazing. It's fantastic. And I reckon we can get it done on the weekend.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Cautiously optimistic is probably
but
the
no matter what
it.
Happens, you've got to say it's been a successful
it's been
season.
Absolutely successful
and the
season.
Future is incredibly bright.
Well, I mean, you look at our list and it's mainly young guys.
Yeah.
It's just great that we got it done for Jonesy, I think.
Mm. But so you've won, you're in a prelim, you've won two finals.
I know, it's unbelievable.
So the monkey's off the back, whatever happens, win or lose,
yeah.
You have had a successful season.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is awesome to think, you know.
You know what? I'm bloody jealous as well.
Mate.
Because I was reading some of the interviews. I think it was Nathan Jones talking about when Essendon beat you by 146 points.
That's right.
In 2012 or 13.
Yeah.
Of course you were.
And you wouldn't have been watching that game going, out of these two teams, who's going to be the next one to play in a prelim?
Yeah.
No
yeah, exactly.
way you would have said Melbourne, but.
Exactly.
God.
You know, it's, there you it's are. Been an interesting one. There we are.
Yeah, for ages I always thought when we finally, hopefully if we one day get up again, I guess who's going to be there? Essendon's going to be there. They're going to stop us. I didn't realise it could actually happen.
Wait till next year.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's good. It's just, it's, you know.
We'll enjoy the ride.
It's a week's a long time in footy.
Mm.
You'll see what happens.
One other thing I quickly want to mention is that we're pretty much a year in now to our show that we've been doing. Because I think, Charlie, it was about a year ago on prelim weekend because we were at a wedding.
Yes.
Where we started discussing the
idea,
wasn't it?
About the idea of it. Yeah, it was. You're absolutely right. For the night of the GWS Richmond prelim.
Yeah, that's when we kind of started. And, Kaz, I think you and I had started talking about how we'd be able to record something in here, and it turned out to be a podcast. So it's been about a year since we've been doing this, or since the idea came.
So we're really calling this the anniversary? I was wondering
well,
when it was going to come out. So, waiting for
I bought you guys a present.
Well, funny you say that because I actually did buy you guys a present.
You didn't let us know.
For doing this with me. And sometimes I'm pretty hard on you guys and I make you come in and do all this stuff. And I know you love it. But
geez, I do.
Do it behind the scenes.
But making you come in and I made you record a university song and you spent hours on that. And I know you spent a lot of hours reading and stuff. So I did get you guys a little something.
And
I thought, thank you very much.
I thought it was an appropriate time to give you this as well.
It's a little package with a t-shirt in it.
Oh, look at this.
So I thought it might help for the weekend. So I thought
it's a
good time to do it.
I've got to do a massive plug here.
Those people, if you're aware of, there's a website called League Tees, which does some very cool vintage shirts.
With a good Instagram.
Yep. And
on
what Twitter.
What a tee. Look at that. It's got the old...
It says fuchsias on it.
The fuchsias and with the old Melbourne logo. Isn't that fantastic?
I don't think it's actually a Melbourne logo. I think you just made it up.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but yeah.
Well, there's a flower there. Down at the pointy part of
pointy
the
part
M.
Of the M. Mm. Oh, that's brilliant. I love it. Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
That's all right, guys.
That's
thank
fantastic.
You. Thank you the for doing
the
podcast with
the
me.
The real present is getting to spend an afternoon, a fortnight talking shit. It's great.
I can't believe
so you can
this.
Wear them on the weekend when you're watching. Or
it's amazing. Oh, it's, yeah. I definitely will be. It's amazing how much the stuff that we talk about actually comes up in regular conversation now. Because like we were talking the other day, I was talking to someone about the way the finals works with like why do we have semis and prelims and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, well, the original prelims were this. And I was like, I never would have known that even like 6 months ago, you know. So it's so interesting.
Do you find yourself correcting people on TV?
Yeah,
I'm constantly doing that.
Yeah, I am aware of how obnoxious I am in general. I try and... Yeah.
Have you got an example?
Oh, yeah, Eddie Maguire was talking about how Richmond were the original expansion team. I'm like, well, actually it was University who applied first and got in first. Richmond were the second expansion team. Idiot.
thanks for listening, Eddie.
Also, to those people who know what we look like, you might have seen us on the Mangrook Footy Show last week.
Yeah.
Not talking, we were just in the crowd.
Yeah, just in the crowd. You probably... unless you follow probably them on, would have seen Tim.
If you follow definitely. Them on Facebook, I was involved in a little trivia game beforehand. And
yes.
And we should give them a little plug, because it was a fantastic night.
Awesome.
It was great, and they were so switched on. The chats were really fantastic, and... a small crowd, but very
nice
enthusiastic.
That's yeah, right. It's great. So if you haven't thought about getting along, yeah, it's free to get in the audience. So
yeah.
You
yeah.
Definitely give
just
it a shot.
Just apply online.
Yeah.
They'll give you tickets.
Brilliant.
It's filmed at Deakin Uni in Burwood. Easy to get to.
It was brilliant. It was such a fantastic night. And yeah. No, it was great. Mm. Yeah.
Really enjoyable. Yeah, and you can still check out that video you're in, so look it up on that. It's Footy Show.
Yeah, I'm on their Facebook.
Yeah, my Facebook.
Contesting a trivia thing against...
Unfortunately, nothing from the early teens.
No, I was ready for that as well.
Yeah, no.
But I still smashed that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one question he got, I gave to him as well.
That's good. It was great.
All right, so moving forward, I spoke about wanting to present a trophy.
Oh, yes.
I decided that, you know, all these football shows and stuff make up their own trophies and their
they
own
do.
Awards. I always harp on about the highest score.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd better name it.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'm going to name it. So I'm not sure what I'm going to name it yet. I've got three options I want to pass
all right.
by you guys. The Alexander McCracken Shield, so the first VFL commissioner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
President. The George Coulthard Shield, who was a three-time leading goal kicker in the 1870s. Also took out the C.C. Mullins Champion of the Colony.
Of course.
Third one was the H.C.A. Harrison Shield.
So Henry Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, interesting. Yeah, I like, well, they're all good names, aren't they?
I can't think of any other pivotal sort of
Well, these are the ones
reasons.
I kind of came up with.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards Coulthard.
Well, leading goal kicker, highest scorer, kind of has that symmetry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I like that.
All right, we'll go with
Let's go with that one.
All right.
And they're serious, too. They're not silly. Like, I would have thought of, say, like the Brereton.
As in Harry Brereton or Dermot Brereton?
Harry.
Yeah, but it's got to be something who was there before the league kind of started.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like
pay,
that.
Pay tribute to those.
Yeah,
people.
To those people who don't get enough of it, do they?
Yeah.
That was, it's interesting... Reading a book that you gave me, Tim, Time and Space, recently.
Oh, you started reading it?
They talked about how for a long time, the original creators of the game, Tom Wills and Henry Harrison and...
Hensley and...
Yeah, those guys kind of got forgotten about. They kind of weren't really paid a lot of tribute until the 80s almost. They were saying they kind of came back into...
Wills and
a very long time away from when it.
Yeah.
Well, Wills and Harrison were the only two who were inducted into the Hall of Fame in the
initial
1996 ceremony.
I guess because they were did Hammersley actually play? Like Harrison and
I don't know. And Wills was swept under the rug for a long time because he committed suicide.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And was kind of forgotten about because of that. Because Harrison was still playing long after that.
Yeah, and then he was president? Or he was involved in Melbourne for a long time.
He was involved in Melbourne,
I think he was president of the Australasian Football Council.
Yeah, yeah.
For a long
time. Very interesting. Yeah, I like that idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So who's currently holds the trophy?
We'll find this out. Year?
For last year, because we didn't talk about it, did we?
Let me check. The other thing is, we've got to make the decision now. Does it include finals or not?
Yes.
If you get the highest score in finals?
Yep. I think it does, because I think that's probably a higher achievement. I think high scoring finals are like rare as hen's teeth. So yep. I think that we should include them.
All right.
That's my opinion, though. Cool. Feel free to shoot me down.
So just the current holder of the George Coulthard Shield is Fitzroy, 1915. They scored 18-17, 125.
Massive.
Yeah.
But still the leader
the
is
overall,
Geelong,
the highest score. No, Essendon from 1911, yeah. The score of 163.
That's right. Yeah, there we go. Cool.
So we'll find out who takes that home later on. For the 16 season.
Here we come.
And also, we did mention we were going to do a war episode. It kind of included with this, we decided to separate them because yeah. we're talking about we're being jovial. We're joking around here at the moment.
Yeah,
and I felt that wasn't quite appropriate to do with all the war stuff.
We want to give it the respect and gravitas that it deserves.
Mm. So we've actually got some really exciting interviews lined up that we're really looking forward to help really make that episode stand out.
Yeah. Mm. So this will be quite a short one, and you'll find out why. Well, I think most people already know because we talked about it at the end of the last episode. But it'll be a shortish one, and then we'll have a nice special, which will probably be reasonably long.
Yeah,
I
probably
imagine.
In the end, yeah.
By the time we, you know, continue to waffle.
All right, well, let's get to the news quickly. So we want some history.
Give us some history.
Beautiful. So 1916, interesting year. Lots happened. As we said, we won't go into too much of the war detail, but there were quite a few very interesting events that happened in 1916 that make you think. As we said last year, so much continues to happen around the world when these things happen. So, 1st of January, the British Army Medical Corps actually carried out the first successful blood transfusion. Ooh. Using blood that had been stored and cooled.
And it's because always when war's happening, technology advances so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that pop up that you know you wouldn't think of as well. The one thing I will mention was on January 9th, the last British troops were evacuated from Gallipoli, and because the Ottoman Empire prevailed over the British and French operation to capture Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
On January 24th, in Montana, the temperature dropped from 6.7 degrees Celsius to negative 48.8 degrees Celsius in one day, which is still the greatest change ever on record for a 24-hour period. So it dropped 55 degrees in a 24-hour period.
Insane.
Isn't that crazy? Right to walk around going, it's freezing out.
Yeah. Later in January, Emma Goldman was arrested in the United States for lecturing about birth control.
Oh.
And going on from what you were just saying about jumps in technology, on March the 7th in Munich, the automobile company BMW was founded.
Oh, the Bavarian Motorworks.
I think originally, actually, they built engines for planes.
Yeah, there you go.
On April 20th, the Chicago Cubs played their first game at Wegman Park, which is Wrigley Field now, and defeated the Cincinnati Reds 7-6 in 11 innings.
Go Cubs.
Between the 1st and the 12th of July 1916, there was the Jersey Shore shark attacks. Have you heard of these?
So, is that what Jaws is based on?
Well, yeah. One shark attacked five swimmers along the 80-mile coast of the New Jersey coastline, resulting in four deaths and the survival of one youth who required their limbs be amputated. And it was the inspiration for Jaws.
That'd be a much better TV show to watch of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, wouldn't it? And then July 15 in Seattle, William Boeing incorporated the Pacific Aero Products Company. Mm-hmm. Funnily enough, later renamed Boeing. on October the 7th, there was a university football game in the US, Georgia Tech and Cumberland College, which ended in, it doesn't say here, but I'm pretty sure it's still record score.
Yeah.
222-0.
Yeah.
On October 16th, Margaret Sanger opened the first US birth control clinic, which was a forerunner of Planned Parenthood. And on November the 13th, Prime Minister Billy Hughes was expelled from the Labor Party over his support for conscription in Australia.
Because it was a failed referendum.
Yeah, yeah, failed referendum, absolutely.
But he still remained Prime Minister because he just formed the new party.
Yeah, he was an independent, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm. And then in a couple of other sports things, earlier in that year, the Stanley Cup was won by the Montreal Canadiens, and due to the outbreak of World War One, the 1916 Summer Olympics in Berlin were cancelled.
Good. While you're talking about Canada as well, Parliament burnt down in Ottawa.
Yes. Yeah, I did read that. Yeah.
Two other things that caught my eye was the toggle light switch was invented.
I did see that. Yeah, love that.
And Kaz, you like this one? Gustav Holst composed the Planets.
Yes, which classic. Of course,
Opus 32.
Yeah, Opus 32. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I just read that and I was like, yeah. I can pretend to be smart for a second.
The hit song, or one of the hit songs, was John McCormack with "Somewhere a Voice Is Calling."
Ah, yes.
You know that one, Kaz?
I do not.
Births. Gregory Peck was born in 1916, as was Gough Whitlam, the 21st Prime Minister of Australia.
He died not too long ago, did he?
2014.
Yeah,
not too long ago. Also, Roald Dahl was born on September 13, and on November 4th, Walter Cronkite, the American TV journalist, was born. In November, a guy by the name of Sherwood Schwartz was born. Now, do you know who Sherwood Schwartz is?
I feel like I do.
You definitely do. Us.
Did he make Bugs Bunny?
Oh, no. It's just very... No, that was Mel Brooks, wasn't
no.
it?
No, Mel Blanc Brooks. Was the voice.
Mel Blanc, yeah, that's right. He was the voice. No, Sherwood Schwartz was into MTV. He was a writer and producer. He created Gilligan's Island and The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And also Kirk Douglas was born that. There we go. Those were the ones that jumped out at me.
Is Kirk Douglas still alive?
I don't.
It doesn't matter.
Write us in.
We're too lazy. Too lazy to look it up.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well, let's get stuck into this 1916 season. It's going to be a short one for several reasons. To start with, there was a lot of discussion early on in the season about how the league was going to look. A lot of people wanted the football to stop. And we'll get into that more next in the war episode.
Yeah, but it's an interesting conversation, I think, to have, because there were two, I think, very fair and very convincing arguments to be had on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ultimately the league stuck fat and played.
Absolutely. And I think there was reason because, like, other things were obviously cancelled, but it sort of came around too quickly for a decision to be made, didn't it? So it kind of just hung around and was left up to the clubs to decide what was going to happen.
Yeah, so Kaz has got a little bit he's going to read out. So the day, I think it was the day after the fixture was released, the clubs had a big meeting, didn't they?
That's what I was going to say. So the fixture gets released and there's not long until the season actually starts, as much as I can gather. So Melbourne, they sparked it off because they were the first ones to say they didn't want to participate. The revelation sparked a special meeting of the league with the expectation that the others would now follow. South Melbourne, Essendon and St Kilda were the next clubs to withdraw. While Geelong was still intended to field the team, even though they originally voted against it. The meeting of the club's delegates on March the 6th, so there's a little bit of time before they actually start, turned sour when a motion put forward by Fitzroy and Richmond was passed, blocking the four clubs from being able to stand out.
Saying you have to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the situation descended into a farce because they just didn't want to.
So Fitzroy and Richmond didn't want to play.
No, they did. And they kind of blocked teams from leaving. They said you have to play.
They put forward the motion and it was obviously passed by everybody to force those other teams not to sit out.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Is that a double negative? The situation descended into a fuss. This is going to drag football through the dirt, South Melbourne President L. Thompson was quoted in the Argus. The four clubs seeking leave from the competition pleaded for common sense, but the clubs wanting to play couldn't see a viable season with only five teams. So the five teams that were left, Carlton,
Collingwood, Fitzroy, Richmond, Geelong.
Geelong still in at this stage. Just days later, with no resolution in sight, five teams became four when Geelong officially pulled the pin. Although, I suppose that's fitting. They originally voted not to. Mm. Although far more serious battles, and I suppose there's a good reason why we talk about Geelong later. Although far more serious battles were being fought in Europe with the British Empire under threat, the VFA was facing the very real prospect of another war. Of the VFA being another casualty of war.
Yeah, so they stopped playing.
Suggesting that it might dissolve.
Mm.
It certainly was not the preference of the four remaining clubs to play among themselves. And they knew they were facing an uphill battle to force the other five teams. So just 20 years after the formation of the VFL, when Carlton, Collingwood and Fitzroy were among the eight clubs to break away from the VFA to form their own competition, a similar plan was once again on the table to separate and form another league.
Like a Super League.
What, really?
Yeah.
This is chaotic, isn't it? And how did they justify it, knowing that the teams would come back or would be wanting to get back to a regular competition?
They don't know, do they?
With Richmond also on board, it was suggested that the four clubs retire from the VFL to form a new body, with invitations extended to the VFA clubs, North Melbourne and Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
But there appeared to be little public sympathy for the predicament of the four remaining clubs, and the concept never eventuated.
Interesting.
After a fiery annual general meeting of the VFL on March 10, so that was 4 days after their original motion, the nine clubs eventually came to an agreement. Melbourne, Essendon, St Kilda, South Melbourne and Geelong would be allowed to sit out of the 1916 season but still remain part of the league. Whew, so they were serious. If you sit out, that's it.
Mm.
Maybe. Anyway, so there that was very elegantly put in that book.
Yeah.
Grand finals.
Yeah. So we're down to four teams.
Yeah. It's a very interesting, predicament, and not something that you can imagine happening at all.
No,
never again.
Playing each other four times across 12 rounds.
Across 12 rounds.
And then a normal final four.
Yeah, which is going to include everyone.
Which is a bit of a farce.
Everyone gets a final. Yeah, you get a final. We're back to it.
And for Richmond, who have never made finals,
they're in.
Happy days. So some other things that kind of happened. Only the finals were played at the MCG.
Yeah.
Everything else was at Suburban, obviously Princess Park, Victoria Park, Brunswick Street and Punt Road.
Is that because there were training drills and people staying at the MCG at that stage?
So.
Or was that more World War II?
I think that was World War II.
That was more World War II, yeah.
Black armbands were pretty much standard attire for teams across the season to pay tribute to those fighting over there. And the other thing that I came across was that 1916 there was a new district football scheme that kind of dictated zones for recruitment.
That's right, because we talked about that, how with the university...
it came from that.
Amalgamation coming into Melbourne,
yeah.
Because at that stage, Melbourne didn't really have a breeding ground.
Yeah, so that final improvement came in October of the last year and came into effect, which would go from 1916 till 1991. Metropolitan Melbourne was divided into nine districts and players would be required to play for the club which represented the district in which they resided. To switch clubs by changing his place of residence, a player would need to reside in his new club district for 13 weeks with a clearance from his club and permit from the league, or 36 months without a clearance from the club.
So you'd have to live there for 3 years without clearance.
Wow. Yeah. And country players were obviously delegated districts as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
It'd be good to follow what the first really good example of that is.
Mm.
That maybe other team wanted somebody.
Before we get into the actual teams that played the season, I've got a little bit here on the teams that didn't play the season.
Yeah.
So Essendon, on the 29th of February, had decided not to take part. It was thrashed out in various meetings, and it was a unanimous resolution to ask to be relieved of the engagements for their season.
Mm.
So very early on, Geelong withdrew from the league as a gesture designed to encourage young men to join the military force.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, the club was not in a healthy state either. They had an overdraft of £710. There's a little bit more about Geelong that'll come up later.
So you would have thought that playing would have been in their best interest then, to try and make some money.
You would have thought, but apparently not. Melbourne was depleted because of heavy enlistments. St Kilda, same thing. Too many players joined up for the war, and the worrying distractions of the war made it impossible for administration to put a team on the field.
Yep.
However, they still sold member tickets for voting rights at the annual meeting,
and
these proceeds went to the Patriotic Fund.
Yeah, so if the, all the money, basically all the money raised from the entire season went into a Patriotic Fund, didn't it?
And South Melbourne, same thing, hit hard by the war. Just lots of players fighting. So, from fourth place then, Kaz.
In fourth place, Fitzroy. With played 12 games. Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
I was wondering that. wins 2, 1 draw and 9 losses with a percentage of 81.6%.
So they're coached by Percy Parrott, captained by Wally Johnson, and their lead goal kicker was Tom Heaney with 27. They had 33 players play for them that season.
Yeah, so had
all the numbers are quite low.
15 players who left because of the war, so 11
including
new players.
Ex-captain Jack Cooper.
Yep.
Who left. His final game was the prelim. He enlisted in November of 1915.
So one of their debutants was Horry Jenkins, who was actually the cousin of Charlie Panham Sr.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Family tree just keeps popping up. I'd love to see that family tree.
Wouldn't that be...
Well, yeah, they talk about the Riolis and the Fletchers and all that, but look, go back and look at the Panham.
Yeah.
Slash Richards family tree.
Yeah.
The thing is massive.
Yeah, I know. It's
branches everywhere.
It's ridiculous.
So round one, they did what seems to quite often happen is they spoilt the unfurling of the flag party for an inaccurate Carlton and beat them by 4 points.
It does seem, especially Carlton, I feel like they always fall to that, don't they? Suckers.
Round two, they won against Richmond, and then round three, they drew with Collingwood. At that stage, they sat half a game clear on top of the ladder, but they wouldn't win another game for the whole home and away season.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Lose their next nine. Following that draw, Harold Lel McClelland retired at age 28. An interesting thing I found out about him, Kaz, was he was an amateur and refused to be paid. He insisted that he be an amateur player. Yeah,
really
and forewent.
Any relation to the Viv McClelland?
Bill
McClelland from Melbourne? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Cool.
Yeah.
In round six, they had a loss to Collingwood. A somewhat unusual goal was scored by Chris Lethbridge. He kicked high. The ball was falling well in front of goal when the Collingwood defender came out to me that the ball broke at a sharp angle over his head and went through. So that classic thing the Australian football always does. It you never know which way it's going to bounce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why it's such a great game.
Mm.
So
pure. No, it is. It's the unpredictability.
Yeah. It's amazing how much the wheels seem to just have fallen off, isn't it? Like, they've gone from winning a couple of close ones at the start of the year. They beat Richmond quite comfortably.
Mm.
And then the draw. And then they lost considerably in round four, round five.
Yeah, well... So round eight, they kicked one goal in the first half.
Yeah,
they stormed home hard in the second half against Richmond, holding Richmond to 1 point, but their inaccurate kicking let them down, and they were beaten by the bell, losing by 10 points. And that was kind of the theme for the rest of the season, where they'd have really poor first halves and then come hard in the second, but not quite make it. Round nine against Collingwood.
Just couldn't put together four quarters of footy.
Yeah.
But imagine, just going back to the way this year's been set up, imagine like every 3 weeks playing the same team. It would get so
for the crowds as well.
Tiresome, yeah.
Well, one of the reasons the crowds were down.
They said that the year started quite well in terms of attendance. Like they were quite happy with the attendance in the beginning and then they just
because they're playing the same team.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't say it's a compromised fixture.
No, exactly.
Round nine against Collingwood again. All the interest of this match centred on the closing stages when the struggle became so close and fierce that a point or two either way was of the utmost importance. The teams went goal for goal with Jim Toohey kicking a goal with 1 minute left to put the Maroons 1 point behind. The Pies, however, managed to hang on for the win. So they're close. They end of the season, they're getting closer.
We've still got Dick Lee in that team.
Round 10, again, they were playing too late. They tried to catch up in the last quarter but ran out of time, losing eventually by 19 points. And round 16, the interest of in a game at Fitzroy watched by
round
something...
12?
Round 11.
Sorry, yeah.
Around 6,000 people was largely confined to the second half. For about an hour of the play, it was noticeable that the side kicking for the Brunswick Street goal had the advantage and that the sun shone in the eyes of the opposing team. And they were always trying to shade their eyes with their hands going for the ball.
If only they were still wearing caps.
If only. Percy Trotter, where are you?
Yeah.
So their record against the other teams, against Carlton, they had one win and three losses. They couldn't beat Collingwood, had a draw and three losses, and a one win and three losses against Richmond.
Hmm. Just before we move off them, there's something about due to wartime austerity, the team was not paid to play, the whole team.
Mm.
I don't know if you already said that.
Something quite a lot of the teams did.
No, we didn't mention that, Kaz. That's a really good point, actually. Because there would be... Tim and I were having this conversation during the week, thinking about, you know, the clubs that are playing still are the clubs that you would generally, like the blue collar workers type clubs who would need the money coming in, and you would have imagined that would have been a reason. This is purely opinion, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no fact in this at all.
Yeah.
But that they were the people who would have needed the money and continued to play, whereas your clubs like Melbourne who were, you know, standing on the fact that they were amateurs, were very proud of the fact that they stood down for patriotic reasons and all of these sorts of things, because they kind of had the privilege to be able to do that, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I wonder whether that had something to do with it. I mean, but then you look at South Melbourne and St Kilda and Geelong, so maybe that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't know.
Before we move on as well, we should point out Fitzroy won the Wooden Spoon.
Yeah.
They finished last.
They finished on the bottom.
It's very important you remember that they finished last and won the Wooden Spoon, Kaz.
But just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Finals favourite.
Finals.
Moving up to third, Richmond with 5 wins, 7 losses.
Their highest ever finish.
They finished third.
89.9%. Ooh. Can't get excited about that.
So coached by Charlie Ricketts again, yes. Captained by Bill Thomas again. Their lead goal kicker was Percy Martini.
Yes.
With 22. So Percy
Martini from Geelong.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So quite, as we'll talk about very shortly, quite a few, I think 4 Geelong players came across because they wanted to continue playing.
Yeah.
So they played for Richmond.
There were a few things... that I read talking about how quite a few times, obviously numbers on backs are now a big thing. There are a few games I read where there were players out without numbers on their backs that maybe were unregistered players from other teams who were out there playing under different names. That's completely unsubstantiated, but I did read that somewhere.
And they didn't get clearances either.
They wouldn't have wanted, because they wouldn't have actually wanted to leave their clubs. They just want to play
just
footy.
From circumstance.
Yeah.
So pre-season on April 29th, a dinner following a game. Following the game. So it must have been maybe a pre-season game, I think. Anyway, April 29th, Frank Tudor, Richmond's president and the customs minister, expressed the opinion that he was against conscription. An opinion... against the Prime Minister's Billy Hughes. But I thought that was a good example of the VFL getting involved in politics, which is still something they do.
It is. Yeah.
They're role models and people listen to them, so they do quite often blur the lines between sport and...
Yeah, and absolutely, and social issues, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they are influential.
Yeah, more so like social and... public things rather than political in general, but that's...
They turn out to be political.
Yep. Absolutely.
Before the days of the triple bottom line as well, so I was always thinking.
Round two, Richmond played Alex Eason, who was a Geelong player, and Bill Burns, who had been on East Fremantle this without permits against Fitzroy. Because some clubs weren't participating, so they were trying to get Richmond disqualified for that game.
Mm.
I don't think it worked.
It seems like everyone kind of turned a blind eye.
Yeah.
At
the crowd, whatever you think.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine so.
At the conclusion of that game, Huey James was presented with a money belt as he was soon to depart for the war.
Oh, yes.
Round three, Percy Martini played his first game for Richmond against Carlton without a clearance again. They defeated Carlton defeated them by 5 points. Richmond led by 25 points with 10 minutes to go, but Carlton placed an extra man on the ball and through ruthless attacking broke Richmond. Still, Richmond have not beaten Carlton.
Oh. Killer.
I've got more on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
do
think
you?
It comes to finals.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Round four, Huey James' non-appearance at the game against Carlton. Collingwood disappoints many. It was supposed to be his last game before going to war, but I think he was held back for training or...
Well, he only played one game.
Yeah.
That year.
Which was that round three
yeah.
game. Round two game, sorry.
Yeah, and kicked two goals.
Yeah. Round five, Richmond defeated Fitzroy at Punt Road Oval in quite a big win. It was Richmond's highest score since joining the league and the first time they'd beaten Fitzroy since 1910 after 11 straight defeats. And it was also Richmond's first win of the season after four straight losses, so good way to get back into the season. Round six, Richmond played another Geelong player in Harry Marsham. Again, without a clearance, the newspaper referred to Richmond as the G Riches. And this was due to the influx of the four Geelong players, and he used that for the rest of the season. G Riches.
The G Riches. I love it.
Round seven, James Kearney became the fourth Geelong ring-in to play for Richmond as they defeated Collingwood by 1 point at Vic Park, which was their first win at Victoria Park against Collingwood since 1892, which was Collingwood's first season.
In the VFA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So their track record, they won... So Richmond didn't beat Carlton, lost four games, broke even with Collingwood, two wins, two losses, three wins against Fitzroy, one loss against... One loss to them.
One loss, yeah. Nice.
G Riches.
G Riches.
Second place, Collingwood. Ooh, with six wins, one draw, and five losses. Percentage of 100% flat.
Yeah.
There you go. So they've come out, yeah. Yeah, yeah, six.
111 points. 111 goals, 137 points against. Sorry, four. 111 goals, 137 points against.
Amazing, yeah. 803 all up, yeah. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So captained by Dan Minogue and coached by Jock
and he
McHale.
And Dan Minogue would continue to lead for as long as he had to leave from the army.
Yeah.
So he was actually enrolled to fight with the army. So he was there for as long as he could be there and was still captain.
Yeah, and he was very much appreciated for that, I think.
But yeah, but that wouldn't last the whole season.
No.
Mm. No, he certainly was a big part of.
Yeah,
the,
he left in
during the season.
During the season. I've got the date here. It was June 24th, which was round eight.
Yeah.
So he played two thirds of the season.
Yeah.
Just good. Lead goal kicker was Dick Lee with 48. So he's back on top.
Back on top.
Big Dick coming out. And extremely inappropriate. I apologise. And they had the fewest players play for them that year with 27.
Yeah, well, they were fortunate because they had a lot of old and tried players available. So they didn't have as many new players as other teams did. So some of their recruits were Charlie Brown from Balmain. Yeah, Charlie Brown. Matt Cody from Kew, Tom Wraith from Castlemaine, and Maurice Sheehy from Fairfield.
Hmm. No wonder they didn't want to pull out.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Dan Minogue was presented with a wristlet watch from the club.
Yeah.
On his departure for use when serving the empire.
So round three, we talk about that draw with Fitzroy. Dick Lee kicked the goal to level the game, but they really should have won. They kicked the six goals, 14.
Yeah.
And scraped in with a draw. And so the following week against Richmond, they kicked 10 goals, 18, with Dick Lee kicking four of those. So not the most accurate team at the moment, the old Collingwood.
Bloody Pies. Yeah.
Round five against Carlton, the Pies narrowly led. Carlton came home fast. Dakin got their ninth goal and Horton, after a fine dash, got the 10th. It reached the stage where Carlton were only a point behind and expected the bell at any moment. It came just a few seconds too soon. The ball was actually in the air as the bell rang.
Yeah, and
before,
then
yep.
he took it, didn't he? And then within distance.
Yes, the easy scoring distance.
Easy kick, yeah.
So they lost the chance of a win or a draw because of the bell. They'd get their chance again, obviously, against Carlton. In round eight, actually, on the Princess Oval, 6,000 people watched them play. The wind blew from goal to goal. The curious thing was, though, although beaten, Collingwood got three goals against the wind, while Carlton scored none at that end. The last quarter was in Collingwood's favour, but they scored 2 goals, 7.
So again, just so inaccurate.
And that was Dan Minogue's last game. He was carried off by a heap of his soldier mates at the end of the game.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the end of Dan Minogue, though. He will be back. We'll be talking a bit about him in our war episode. Round 11, Dick Lee took what was described as a splendid skyscraping mark in their two-point loss to Carlton. So one thing we noticed about that season was there was lots of close games. They had a draw with Fitzroy and a one-point win over Carlton and Fitzroy, as well as 1 and 2-point losses.
Yeah, so okay. I mean, close season. It does keep it interesting, doesn't it? Like looking at the wins and losses, it doesn't seem as close as it was in reality.
You know?
Because Carlton, we're about to hear about it, aren't we? But
yeah. So Collingwood's record against the other teams, Carlton one win. So they had one win against Carlton, three losses, three wins and a draw against Fitzroy, and broke even against Richmond, two wins, two losses.
Mm. And we're talking about players who are involved with the war in the other episode.
Yeah.
So coming up first, Carlton with 10 wins, only two losses, 137.2%.
Yes, and so captain, coached by Norm Clark again, and captain
Hackenschmidt. Best nickname.
And captained by Bill Dick again. And their lead goal kicker was Vin Gardner with 44. They had 29 players play for them that season. They were obviously the most impressive team throughout the season.
Yes.
Weren't they? They had it covered.
Yeah. Maybe their professionalism seen them in good stead. With some other...
No one would have known it at this stage, but Carlton was about to have their longest game run without a flag in their history, although I don't know. I think that's been broken now because they're so bad now. but it wouldn't be until 1938 that they get back to the grand final and win it.
And win it. There you go.
So good. I'm sick of talking about them.
No, seriously.
One of their interesting, I wouldn't call it a debutante, was Alex Bongo Lang, who had been serving a 5-year suspension for bribery from the 1910 final series, if you remember
that's
talking
right,
about that.
I do. Oh, yeah.
One of those two players who were given that long ban. 5 years.
That is massive.
He's back.
That's the first one that's actually lasted.
Yeah. They haven't gone, oh, yeah, you can come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Round one, obviously, we talked about Fitzroy spoiling their unfurling of the flag.
Yeah.
But they're kicking for goal was the story of the game, and they weren't able to get that win. Round three, Carlton came from three goals down at three-quarter time to maintain their perfect record over Richmond. Ted Brown wasn't able to play because he couldn't get leave from the army. Athol Sharp's dad was a baker, and Athol had to deliver bread on the Saturday afternoon, so he couldn't play. And Charlie Hammond...
It brings a whole other meaning to how many sausage rolls you get, didn't it?
And Charlie Hammond hadn't recovered from a broken toe, but he still played.
Oh, good,
and,
yeah.
It would be round three would be George Topping's last game, Carlton champion.
Oh, yeah.
Won quite a few games with them. In round four, they played Fitzroy in a very fumbly affair. Vin Gardner kicked four as Carlton took first place on the ladder with a hard-fought win. However, the public was sick of games starting at 3 p.m. because most of them were now finishing in the dark. So usual starting time.
Winter, absolutely.
Usual starting time for games then was 3 p.m. Round five, they lost a.
We still know that's the worst. Yeah,
oh, Twilight
3:20s. Oh my god.
Now we spoke about that loss to Carlton by a point. Interesting side note to that was that 2 days later, on the King's birthday on a Monday, they played against. It was a Carlton Collingwood. Match in Ballarat to raise funds for their Red Cross fund.
Oh,
so it didn't count.
Just
a fundraising exhibition
just because
game.
They hadn't played each other enough yet.
Yeah, so for what would be the fifth time that season, and it was a very sloppy game, but ended in a draw. Eight
Amazing.
Goals, 10,
so
each.
In two games, it was a point difference.
Yeah, Hawker of Carlton kicked the goal after the siren to draw the game. Round eight, a severe hailstorm swept across the ground in the morning, followed by cold, curtailing westerly winds, which kept crowds away. And despite being held scoreless in the last quarter, the Blues would triumph by 2 goals over the Collingwood. Vin Gardner would kick his 300th goal.
Beauty.
That's fantastic.
And Carlton's revenue for the year was £884, but chose to pay off debt rather than donating it to the Patriotic Fund.
Whoa. So they're not sure about that, Blues.
So
karma is a
Maybe that's why they wouldn't be in a grand
final.
Yeah,
exactly.
Win the flag. So Collingwood's Carlton's record against Collingwood was 3 wins, 1 loss. Against Fitzroy, 3 wins, 1 loss. And 4 straight wins against Richmond. Which takes us to...
To the finals.
Yeah. Well,
Can you believe it?
Let's go around the grounds quickly.
We said it'd be a short episode, didn't we?
We did. And I do have some dick watch and some crap watch.
Oh, fantastic.
Surprisingly, which I didn't think I'd have. I didn't remember till last night when I was planning that, but I do actually have some somewhere.
Excellent.
So around the grounds is pretty quick as well.
Yeah, and a lot of
leagues not
playing.
Because most leagues weren't playing. So in the waffle, they still played. South Fremantle got up. Paddington won in Sydney. And that was it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, where are my other notes? Oh, there we go. Dick watch and crap watch. So we'll start with some crap watch. He retired from umpiring, even though we know they were trying to get him back. He umpired some high school games between the Christian Brothers College and Perth High School.
He just can't stay away.
Most of what he seemed to be doing in 1916 was umpiring schoolboy football.
Yeah.
So helping out there. Dick Condon, though, is the interesting thing. So in the New South Wales Football League, which I don't think ended up playing, he was appointed...
Didn't you say Paddington?
Oh, yeah, sorry. They did. You're right. Sorry. Yeah. Not Ivo Crap. Dick Condon was appointed vice president
of the league.
Of the league.
Ah, excellent.
And he signalled his intention to take an active interest in the future doings of that body. One thing, and this is the ironic part, one thing he was asked to look into was the quality of the central and goal umpires, making sure each was fully qualified before the season started.
Oh, none of them are in his eyes. Their daughters are all whores.
That's right. I don't have any daughters.
So now moving towards finals, we know all teams qualified.
Maiden, well
finals.
Done. You get a final.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Richmond, on your first final. If only university had just lasted a couple. Oh, no, they definitely wouldn't have played.
Or if they had 5, they would have been the team that missed out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So semi-finals to start with was Fitzroy versus Collingwood in August, on the 12th of August.
Sure.
August finals.
Yeah, unbelievable.
At the MCG. 9,690 people came. The big pavilions of the MCC were almost deserted.
Yeah, it's not a big crowd, is it? When we've been talking about 35s and 40s and things like that. It's it's extremely understandable.
Oh, absolutely, it is.
But in saying that as well, and as it mentions in a few different articles, and we'll talk about this more. People are still there. They need something to do.
Yeah.
Like you can't stop people from living their lives, can you? So,
no. Yeah,
very interesting.
Now, Fitzroy took 20 minutes to score their first goal, and were 1-3 at quarter time. I should also note that Jimmy Freak was injured in the last game of the season, or injured himself somehow and didn't play the finals.
Yeah.
Which you'd think is a massive out.
Yeah, huge, considering he's been their lead goalkeeper
goal
for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Collingwood had the lead at half time, but Fitzroy came hard at them. Tom Heaney, with his high marking and long kicks, proved to be of service to them. In the third quarter, they held Collingwood to 4 points while they slammed on 4 goals to themselves and took a 2-goal lead going into the last quarter. And they kind of just held on in that last quarter. And in a massive upset, spoiled Jock McHale's celebration. He was playing his 250th game, first player
massive.
To do so.
Yeah.
And big surprise, won their first game in 10 attempts.
That's amazing.
In a final.
To knock Collingwood out.
To progress to a decider.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
Who'd have thunk it, Kaz?
No, who would have?
So Jock basically would have played all those games straight as well.
Was in the middle of that massive game streak.
Yeah.
That he was playing. I think he'd played every game since 1909?
Yeah.
Something
know.
Like that.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
There's still good quality games of football with good players. This is not like it was, just looking back on how there's only 4 teams.
Yeah, it's
just
not a,
what it's really.
Yeah,
like.
What's actually happening? But no, it does. It sounds like they're pretty strong quality. Mm-hmm. And then the second semi. Well, do you have more to say about the first one?
No,
that was
no,
it. Yeah,
second semi.
So the second semi was Carlton versus Richmond. In front of the next week, in front of a slightly larger audience of 11,728,
yep.
me have here. I love how specific the attendances are, even back this far. Yeah. Which was another very close game.
Yep.
Surprisingly close considering how dominant Carlton had been through the year. But as we said, it was actually much closer. The season was much closer than the table, than the ladder sort of shows.
Those teams would know each other very well.
Yeah, amazingly well. Even with all these ring-ins that are just coming in and out. So they won. Carlton managed to just get it over them, 10-15-75 to Richmond's 10-12-72.
Which is just, Richmond can't quite beat Carlton. It's just that thing, isn't it? They've got the wood over them.
That's it. It's there. There was an article saying,
they had the chance to win as well.
They did. The Wasps were stung in their first final ever. They just got done, didn't they?
The first VFL final.
Yeah, sorry. Absolutely. They were far from disgraced, though, and could have won the game, but for some wayward kicking for goal in the first three terms.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So does that mean that they're only just missing out? Their first final was very nearly almost their first grand final.
Yeah.
Sadly not to be.
Well, George Bayliss missed a set shot 30 yards out dead in front in the dying moment, scoring a point.
That's what I was going to say.
And absolutely. That would have given them it. Imagine how bad you'd feel. But, you know,
good times
these things happen.
Sergeant Frank Toomey, a former Richmond player and veteran, was given a rousing reception after limping into the dressing room.
Oh, good on him.
And an interesting note here from Rhett Bartlett's website was that there's a myth that Vic Thorpe played in this match under the pseudonym R. Sharp, but most newspapers didn't have him.
Oh. And well, why would he have to play under a pseudonym?
I don't know.
Because he did play.
Well, there's a Sharp who played for Carlton that day. They might have got mixed up with, but it wasn't Vic Thorpe.
But Vic Thorpe played 13 games for them that year.
Yeah.
So why would he have to play under a pseudonym? Did he get suspended? No.
How did they disguise themselves?
With a fake moustache, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
And a monocle.
I see.
So that means... So we've gone through to the grand final. It's the grand final.
Okay, grand final.
It's the grand final, obviously, because Carlton have had 10 wins for the season. Fitzroy have only had two.
Oh,
they've just
win.
Scraped.
Easy win.
They've just scraped a win over Collingwood.
Chalk this up as
weren't overly convincing.
Chalk this up
anyway.
As three-peat.
So we've got, absolutely. They've got it done. What? How do you like my acting?
Yeah.
It's great, right?
There's lots of gestures.
Yeah. You can't see my arms waving maniacally around my head. So on the 26th of August at the MCG, in front of 15,567 people, Fitzroy defeated Carlton 9-11-65 to 5-12-42. Can you believe it?
23 points.
Just like the D's, getting everything right at the right end of the season, you know?
Yeah. So Carlton wore black armbands in respect for the memory of George Chalice, who was a former player who was killed in action. George? Mm. Is it George?
Yeah, I think so.
They had a commanding hand practically throughout the first quarter of the game. Harry Greaves, a new man, was playing back, did a number of neat things and was quite successful in beating Fitzroy almost single-handedly. Mm. Strength played a big part in the close tussle with Athol Sharp, a pretty clever forward of Carlton, fell and dislocated his shoulder. He had to retire. Jamison, the team's full back, was also injured and had actually broken his arm, so Carlton were down to two men in that last quarter. Due to that, Carlton kicked 2 points in the last quarter and Fitzroy slammed on 4 goals to 4 to steal the game and force another match. Because Carlton have the right of challenge.
It's got to change. I can't believe it hasn't changed
it
yet.
For this season?
Well, maybe that I can understand it for this season. Because maybe we can just eke another game out of it. But how can it keep happening?
Bribery. Maybe they took a bribe.
Yeah, always.
Surprised I haven't called that.
It's got to change. So they meet again. Carlton Fitzroy the week later in the grand final. At least it's in September. Thank God.
That
one game in September, exactly.
You got a crowd figure for me?
I do, 21,130.
So very down on that 60,000 we had.
60,000, absolutely. But still up, highest one for the season. And It well, we have we're speaking to the captain of the winning team now, aren't we?
We are. Through the use of technology, we are able to talk to the captain of the Fitzroy football team, Wally Johnson. Welcome, Wally. You've just achieved the unthinkable, a wooden spoon and a flag in the same season.
Yes, look, thanks for having me, but it's incredible. Today was definitely the highlight, though.
So both sides suffered injuries after last week's game. Carlton had made three changes coming into the day, and your ruckman, Chris Lethbridge, was also injured after that incident with Ted Brown.
Yeah, it was poor old Chris. He'd played almost every game this season. To miss out in the final game was really very disappointing for him.
Oh, but you were able to replace him with a player like Lal McLennan, yeah?
Yeah, see, look, he was a great decision as replacement. He is a club champion, playing over 130-odd games. He's been there for the good times and the bad, and his experience was great to have, especially for the newer boys.
So the game started quickly for the Maroons, but before you knew it, you had a decent lead.
Yeah, it really helped kicking with the wind, and before we knew it, we'd slammed on the first three goals, which was in the first 10 minutes. It was great to see young Bert O'D to get on the board early as well.
Now, Wally, Carlton seemed quite frustrated with the play and gave away several free kicks. Did you think it was the first sign of them panicking?
No, not really. It was the first quarter. Three goals was a good early lead. But there was still a lot of football to be played that day.
But while you didn't even stop it in the second quarter, your pace and ability to run with the ball clearly frustrated Carlton up until half-time.
It did. It just seemed like everything was going our way from that point. Even that glorious mark from Tom Heaney and the goal that was just subsequent of that mark lifted the boys and spurred us on even more.
Carlton began a bit of a comeback in that third quarter and looked to have all the play, but your boys are up to the fight.
Yeah, look, I must say our defence was splendid. Johnson, particularly Sean, while Teddy McDonald, Fred Bamford and Lal McLennan performed wonders.
The game was really an arm wrestle for that whole second half. Carlton would fight and kick for a goal, and then you'd respond. It just seemed that you could match everything they threw at you.
We've just really come together as a team in the last month and have that trust in one another after playing together throughout this year.
Yeah, you can tell, obviously, you ran out 29-point winners. And when that final siren rang, you went from the wooden spooners after the home and away season to the premiers in the space of 4 weeks. Mm. Can you believe it?
Yeah, look, it's certainly been a crazy month. Coming into the finals on the back of 9 straight defeats was certainly not ideal. But we knew in some of those losses that we'd played our best and it just wasn't good enough. But when it came to the crunch, we were lucky and did get the job done.
Throughout this final series, we kept saying that Fitzroy will be missing Jimmy Freak, having injured himself in that final game. But for the third week in a row, you've proved that you can win without him.
Yeah, having the aeroplane, Tom Heaney and Percy Parrick kicking three each today really helped swing the game in our favour. We would have loved to have Jimmy out there with us. Hopefully he can get back and we can go back-to-back next year.
Wally, you were probably the best man on the ground today. Your defensive efforts and your safe and sound defence were consistent throughout.
Yeah, look, thanks, boys. I really appreciate that. I just went out there and did my thing, really.
And you did it bloody well, mate. Now, tell us, sorry to bring a sombre mood to it, but I imagine the boys were all thinking of Jack Cooper while you're out there playing today.
Yeah, absolutely. We have him on our minds all season. But not just him, all the other boys from around the league and across the country over there doing us and our country proud.
Now, I'm sure there would be some boys over in Europe very happy about the news and the win and looking forward to hearing all about that in the trenches. But look, Wally, we'll let you go. Well done again.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you and thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate. Go enjoy it. So there you go.
Man, premiers and wooden spooners
premiers
in 1 year.
Premiers and wooden spooners
what
in 1 year.
An anomaly.
Fitzroy, 12-13-85, beat Carlton, 8-8-56.
29 points. They were missing a number of players, Carlton, but still.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Wally spoke well, didn't he? He had clear knowledge of all the players in his team.
Absolutely.
He certainly did. So, yeah, can you believe it? Wooden spoon and premiership.
Oh, so let's sum up the season.
So that's kind of... That kind of beats Melbourne's sixth to premiership in 1900, so let's not talk about that anymore.
Nothing can sully that.
Exactly.
So let's sum this up quickly.
So we had...
Premiers?
Premiers, Fitzroy.
Wooden Spooners.
Fitzroy, the Maroons. The leading goal kicker was Dick Lee, again, with 48.
46 for the season.
46 for the season. Yep. Two extras in the finals.
Yep.
In the one final that Collingwood did play.
Yes. Champion of the colony.
Who was the champion of the
Vic
colony?
Vic Thorpe.
Vic Thorpe, or...
fictitious...
R. Sharp.
R. Sharp.
I can't believe there's another R. Sharp finalist. That's a royal stuff up.
Winner of the Coulthard Shield.
The winner of the
Coulthard
Shield.
Which is the highest
score. Was Richmond. Richmond, was it not? 127?
1913, 127.
There you go.
Take it out. Their first acceptance of the Shield.
Good on them.
Nice goal.
We got it. They made the finals.
They did.
They didn't get the wooden spoon.
No. What a season.
If only they did, they might have won the premiership as well. But no. So very interesting year, 1916.
Yeah.
As we said, we've been a bit, you know.
There's more to come in the special.
Tongue in cheek with this one, but we will give it the respect that it deserves in our next episode.
Due course.
Yes, absolutely. Because it does deserve it.
Lots of teams feeling the effects of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can hear from those few people we did mention, Jack Cooper, Dan Minogue, George Chalice, and there's plenty more names to add to that list that deserve the respect of what we will give them.
Mm.
That's right.
So tune in, because we've got some good plans in place.
Absolutely. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Mm. And well done, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
There we go. Hooroo.
Enjoy. Go D's.
Go D's.
You can contact Kick to Kick on email at kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com or add us on Instagram, which is @kicktokick_podcast. Or find us on Twitter, which is @kicktokickpod. And thanks for listening.